This is Dr. Max D. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and we're happy to have you follow along in our Bible studies. We want to always take time to thank you for the response that we get, and to thank you, and we have people write and say we're really praying for the broadcast, and we hope it's not taken off of the air because of these kind of messages and so forth like that. Well, there's a lot of Catholics that like to see it taken off of the air because they don't want to know the truth, but that's their responsibility. What they fail to realize is the fact I would fight for their right to be able to express and to go to any church that they want to go to. And the idea, too, they say, oh, you're bringing these messages. We're comparing what this organization teaches to the Bible. And then we have a few come out and say, oh, he hates Catholics. Well, you just told a big fat lie, because there's nowhere you have ever heard Pastor Younce say he hates Catholics, he dislikes Catholics, or whatever. I dislike some of your animosity sometimes and some of your hatred that you shed toward people who disagree with you. And some of the lies that some of you people tell, yes, I hate that, but I don't hate you as far as an individual. I just pray that you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll put your trust in the Bible instead of an organization that is telling you not to believe the Bible in so many words. Well, we're going to continue now, because we're going to use your Bible, that is the Roman Catholic Bible, your Bible. So you can't say, well, Pastor Younce is using a different Bible, and it reads differently, and so forth like that. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off last week, and that was with Mary, because this is constantly pounded into your brain that you are going to pray to Mary, and she's going to do something for you. I'm going to tell you that's a lie that's perpetrated out of hell. And you just go to your Bible and see if you find anywhere Mary ever said, pray to me, where Christ ever said, pray to Mary, where the apostles ever said, pray to Mary. You'll find it nowhere in your own Bible. Now, I wonder why you believe that kind of stuff. You see, it all comes down to this. Do you want to know the truth or do you not? And Christ said the truth will set you free. You'll get out of the prison house of religion and be free and realize that Christ will give you eternal life, absolutely free. For by grace are you saved, that's saved from hell, by saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the reason it's a gift to God, because Jesus Christ bought your right to go to heaven. And if you want to sacrifice that and throw it down the drain and not believe the Bible and believe opposite of the Bible because of a religious organization, friend, when you die, you're the one that spends eternity in hell, not me, because I believe the Bible over your organization. I'll tell you that right now. And I hope you'll do the same, because that's the only way you go to heaven. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So joining the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or the Baptist Church or any other organization does not give anyone, sir, ma'am, whoever you might be, eternal life. There's only one person that gives you eternal life, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, concerning Mary, again, we are told that she can intercede for us. So we're going to the Roman Catholic Bible now. We're going to your Bible. If you're listening, you're a Roman Catholic. I'd like for you to turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. We'll begin in verse 3, and it says this. This is good and agreeable in the sight of God, our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, himself man, Christ Jesus. It doesn't say Mary, does it? And the Holy Spirit just said right before that, I wish that all men or all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you have a desire to know the truth? Will you believe the Bible over your church? Well, friend, if you don't, hell's your home. I mean, God can't do any more to write it in the Bible. When you stand at the great white throne judgment and you're looking out at the lake of fire out there where you're going to spend eternity, and the books are opened. There are two books. One's the book of life, and that had your name in it, but when you died without Christ, it was blotted out. And then Christ has the date. He has the time. He has every radio broadcast you listen to, every gospel preacher that told you there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. And I can almost hear you screaming now, give me an attorney. I need an attorney. He goes, well, I'm going to sue you, God. You know, you can almost hear the stupidity of someone like that. And then the Lord opens the other book and says, you know what? Look how many times. I'll tell you this. Remember listening to that radio broadcast, that pastor in Walnut Grove on Sunday morning? Remember listening to some of these other preachers out here that are telling you that Christ is the only way to go to heaven? But your church puts you in prison, sir. You believe the Pope, you believe the priests, you believe the cardinals, you believe the bishops, and you believe the organization because it was big, big, big. And you believe Pope Benedict has said, I'm going to unite all religions. That's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what the Antichrist will do. Exactly. When the whole world will have to take the mark of the beast. And that is 666 on your forehead or on your hand. But this same guy that demands that goes into the temple over in Jerusalem, the rebuilt temple. And in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians says that he exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he as God setteth in the temple declaring himself to be God. Well, sir, if the Pope's your God, you're set up for the Antichrist. You're just another victim to religion, sir. But let me read what it says again. For there is one God, one mediator, and he tells you who the mediator is, between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. Not Mary at all. And while you're there, let me take you to another place. Go with me back in your Bible. Just turn right in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. All right? Hebrews chapter 4. And Mary can do nothing for you. You've been brainwashed. You've been lied to. And all you have to do is look in your own Bible. Look in the Catholic Bible, sir. You see, Hebrews chapter 4, let's notice here in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's notice here in verse 14. Let me get it here. Okay, here we go. Verse 14, we'll read on down here, if you will, and notice here in from 14 to 16. Having therefore, now this is in the Roman Catholic Bible. This isn't in the Protestant Bible, if we want to differentiate, or the King James Bible. This is your Bible. Having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot have compassion on the infirmities, but one tried as we are in all things except sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Come boldly before the throne of grace. There. And by who? Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Mary, but you didn't make it. You got excluded. And you know what? You don't want anybody to pray to you because you know yourself that it was a privilege to give birth to the Son of God and that He is your Savior, as you said twice. God is my Savior. Christ is my Savior. You gave birth to the Savior of the world and you never ask anybody to ever pray to you because you knew yourself there's nothing you can do for mankind. It's all the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very interesting. And then we're told by the Roman Catholic Church that Mary was sinless. Well, that's very easy. Let's go to the Roman Catholic Bible here, and we'll go here to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. This is in their own Bible here. And the hardest thing to do is get a Roman Catholic to believe the Bible, their own Bible. You can hardly get them to do it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we find out here. We find out, and let me read from their Bible, as all have sinned and have need of the glory of God, they are justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now, as all have sinned, Mary was a human being. She was a sinner, and proof of that. And I want to show you one of the things that is almost comical to me, how they can't get around it, but then they tell you at a footnote at the bottom of the page, truthfully, don't believe it. So, in words to that effect. But I want to show you this. And it's very, very interesting. If we go in our Bibles, we find out that Mary offered the sin sacrifice. She most assuredly did. And we find out also that that sacrifice, as the Old Testament had said. Now, I'd like for you to go back to the book of Leviticus in your Bible, if you're a Roman Catholic now, and I hope you're listening. I really do. And read your own Bible. And probably following along with me, it's the first time you've read it for a while. But let's go here to Leviticus chapter 12, and this is the sacrifice that Mary offered. And she knew this because she knew she was a sinner. Notice here in verse 6, there, of the Old Testament here, Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6. Now, this was the offering that God required of every woman, whether she gave birth to a boy or a girl. Let me read it to you. In verse 6, when the days of her purification for a son or for a daughter are fulfilled, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the meeting tent a yearling lamb for a holocaust and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. The priest shall offer them up before the Lord to make an atonement for her, and thus she will be clean again after her flow of blood, since in the law for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl child. If, however, she cannot afford a lamb, she may take two turtle doves or two pigeons, the one for a holocaust and the other for a sin offering. The priest shall make an atonement for her, and thus she will again be clean. This is before Christ died on the cross. It was for a sin offering. Now I want to read you a little footnote that the Roman Catholic Church puts at the bottom. And to make you, again, clarify she was not a sinner. I can't believe this. They do everything to get you to disbelieve the Bible. Because of her, if I can read the word here, miraculous delivery. It was in a crack here. Good to read it. Miraculous delivery. She was not really obligated to make the sin offering of purification. She wasn't really obligated. They're telling you that she was sinless now. And she wasn't really obligated. Well, you know what? They seem to know more, I should say, 1,500 years after Mary made her own offering, they seem to know more than Mary. Evidently, Mary thought she should make the sin offering for herself and so forth. But then the priests come along 1,500 years later and say, well, she really, not really obligated to make it. Really? Every human being, every woman was obligated to do it. And then the church tells you that, well, don't really believe that Mary wasn't, because we've already told to you and lied to you that she was sinless. And yet, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've never seen a religious so-called organization try so hard to get you not to believe the Bible. That's unbelievable to me. You see, I thank God that we've led many Roman Catholics to the Lord Jesus Christ that have been freed from this prison house of laws and ordinances and perversion and things that contradict even their own Bible. But you never know this, and what infuriates many Catholics is simply this, the fact you never read your Bible. Mother and dad have brought you up in this religion, and you've just been brought up in it. And you've had your catechism, and you were baptized as a little baby, nowhere found in the Bible. We're going to cover that with Luther and the Roman Catholic Church later on in some of these messages here. Because you need to know what Luther really thought about going to heaven. And you will be shocked, because he believes the same thing as the Catholics do, you see. But nevertheless, let's go on here. We have some time left here. And I think that's enough covering that. It's just amazing to me how they put a footnote and say, well, she wasn't really obligated. Well, God said she was obligated under the law, and then the church tells you, well, she really wasn't obligated, because they have also lied to you, and this justifies their lie, that Mary was sinless. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. If she was sinless, then she should have went to the cross and died to pay for our sins, because my Bible tells me there was only one sinless person, and that was Jesus Christ. God hath made him to be sin for us, to take our sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, you see. So they're lying to me again. I'm sorry, Mr. Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to believe the Bible over your lies. I'm not going to believe you at all, because you contradict the Bible. And when it comes to me going to heaven or hell, you don't mean one thing to me. But the Bible does, God does, and Christ does, because I love him to pieces. And I thank God that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And you want me to believe you over the Bible? I don't think so, sir. Next thing we want to go to is this. And this comes right from, again, and while we're in the book of Leviticus here, we have the Pope telling the cardinals, and they're to tell the bishops, and the bishops are to tell the priests, you can't be married. Well, that's great. The Bible says you're required to be married. That's amazing to me. I can't get over this. And, you know, the preachers today are required to be married in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But I want to read from the Roman Catholic Bible, their own Bible they don't even believe. Notice what the priests are in. We'll go to Leviticus chapter 21. Let's go over here to chapter 21. And notice here in verses 7 to 9. In verses 7 to 9. Notice what it says. A priest shall not marry a woman who has been a prostitute or has lost her honor, nor a woman who has been divorced by her husband. Now notice in verse 9, talks about the priest having daughters, having children. A priest's daughter who loses her honor by committing fornication and thereby dishonors her father also shall be burned to death. What a dishonor. Now in verse 13, let's go down here to verse 13 and 14. The priest shall marry a virgin. It doesn't say, I hope you will. Well, maybe I'll let you. Maybe we should check with the Pope now and see what the Pope says. But the Pope's already said no, and everything he says is infallible, so it's impossible to change it. So it's going to stand forever, in spite of the Word of God. But, Mr. Pope, you contradicted the Word of God. The Word of God says here the priest shall marry a virgin. Shall marry. Not if he decides he wants to or not. If you're going to be a priest, you ought to be married. Not a widow or a woman who has been divorced or a woman who has lost her honor as a prostitute, but a virgin taken from his own people shall he marry. Now, in order to be a priest, of course, if you were a Levi, you were to marry a Levite and so forth. But you had to be married. Now, I want to move on to something else because this is right from your own Bible. This is a Roman Catholic Bible, the Douay translation of the Roman Catholic Bible. Now, I want to stay right in your Bible. I'm going to use your Bible all the way through. Let's go now, and let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. While we're back here in Leviticus here, you don't have to turn far. Just turn left in your Bible, and let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, and we're going to find out where God says, don't take any liquor into the church. This is from your own Bible. And, you know, really Catholics and sincere as they are, we've had some people ask us, and they are truly wonderful people. They're very kind. They're very nice. And said, Pastor Younes, we didn't know any of this before your broadcast came on the air here, and this is a shock to us. We have been raised in this for years, and we knew none of this. We didn't know any of this is in the Bible going contrary to the Bible. And talking about the liquor and that, and they'd never known that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all said it's the fruit of the vine, which is never used for alcohol. They didn't know that Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 is in the Bible, that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby be not wise. They didn't know any of that. They didn't know these verses exist. Well, you can rest assured the Roman Catholic priests are not going to tell them those verses are there. Not at all. But let's see what their Bible says about their alcohol. Let's read it. We come over here to Leviticus now, and I'd like for you to go to chapter 10, and let's begin here in verse 9 to 11, okay? Or we'll say here in, in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Aaron, when you are to go to the meeting tent, you and your sons are forbidden under pain of death by a perpetual ordinance, that is a everlasting ordinance, throughout your generations to drink any wine or strong drink. You must be able to distinguish between what is sacred and what is profane. So he's saying any alcohol content is profane. And it's an amazing thing to me, but let's read on down here. You must be able to distinguish between what is sacred, that's your sweet grape juice, and what is profane, that's your liquor, and between what is clean and what is unclean. The clean is your sweet grape juice. It's called must, just like you would talk to somebody and say, you must do that. Well, just look up M-U-S-T in your Webster's Dictionary or Thorndike Dictionary, and you'll find out it's the sweet grape juice. It's the sweetest, best thing that was desired over the alcoholic beverage back in biblical times, and even in times later of some that have went over there into Palestine. So you must be able to distinguish between what is clean and the unclean. You must teach the Israelites all of the laws that the Lord has given them through Moses. So, if I'm a priest or a pastor, then I'm strictly forbidden, under the law, to take any alcohol into the church, or the tent, or the tabernacle, or the, we'll put it this way, the meeting place of the people and so forth, absolutely forbidden. And I asked you, Mr. Priest, why do you serve your people alcohol? Why do you take the damnable liquor into church? And you give them there. You're telling them and teaching them to do exactly opposite of what the Bible says. And this is from your own Bible. This isn't from the, as you would say, the Protestant Bible. But that isn't true. The King James Bible is for every human being. It's the best translation ever translated from the Greek, Hebrew, and the Aramaic. But even in your Bible of the Douay translation, you're told not to do that, and you go ahead and do it anyway. And you're going to teach me to follow the Lord when you don't even follow the Lord yourself? I don't think so, sir. I'm glad that I can follow what the middle verse of the Bible says. It's better to put your trust in the Lord than confidence in men. And you're going to die, sir. And the point I wonder is, Mr. Priest, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, you're lost on your way to hell just pretending to be religious and trying to fool as many people as you can possibly fool. Because from your own Bible, as we continue on here, we're going to find out, you are not a priest at all. You're lying to the people that you are, but you are not a priest. And the Bible says you are not. Even your own Bible says you're not. You see. Now, we have just a couple of minutes, and I think we'll just go there. Go with me here to Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 23. Let's go back here to Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 23. Now, I'm not going to get all this in because they did one very tricky thing back here, the Roman Catholic Church did, and they purposely mistranslated a word to deceive you about the priest. So I brought along Vine's expository words on the Greek New Testament. Kenneth Wiest, he is a Greek scholar, and brought along his explanation of it, and also brought along with me here another Greek scholar, which is known, these men are known worldwide over, and that is A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar. And I brought them. I'm not going to have time to get into this, but I'll just get started. And then I want to read you how they absolutely mistranslated this to fool you so they can still put the priest out there when the Bible says there are none. I'd like for you to notice. We're over here now to Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 23, and this is one of the most tricky, dishonest, sly things that you'll never catch unless you're a pastor and you read this and you know better and you go look it up in the Greek. You will never get it. And this is why some of the Bible that they have here has many perversions in it, because they use a minority text of Westcott and Hort to pervert, or I should say as far as perverting the Word of God, from England. And a lot of the Bible they didn't even believe, and that's what most of your pastors use, is the Greek text instead of the majority text. But maybe that's a little Greek to you itself right there. But anyway, let's notice here, and then we'll have to put this on the next broadcast for the following week, because it'll take a little time to go into this, and I'm going to read you from these Greek scholars and so forth and show you how the Roman Catholic Church, man, they hated this word, and they didn't use it at all, you see. But notice here in verse 23, it says, "And the other priests indeed were numerous because they were prevented by death from continuing in office." Why did they die? Because they're a sinner. "But he, because he continueth ever, hath an everlasting priesthood." Isn't that something? It says everlasting priesthood. Well, we do know that Christ does have an everlasting priesthood. But they took the Greek word aperibatus and translated it everlasting. Now, it's very interesting because that word is not ever translated everlasting. It only appears once in the Greek New Testament, and it should have been translated untransferable. In other words, if you, yes, we all agree that Christ's priesthood is everlasting, but that's not the meaning of this word. Oh, we find out, yes, and when we look up everlasting in the Greek, we find out that of the 26 places it is translated as everlasting, it's never used of this word here. It's always a different word. Of the 25 of the 26 places, the only exception is the book of Jude, where it uses everlasting, and it uses a synonym. It's a different Greek word, just like we have different English words, synonyms for other words, and so forth. And but out of the 26 times, 25, it used the same Greek word. And the one time in Jude, it used a different Greek word, which was a synonym, meaning everlasting and so forth, but never used this word at all because it doesn't mean everlasting. It means unchangeable, untransferable. But they didn't want you to read that here. because that would mean, if you read that here, we can't have priests today because Christ never transferred his priesthood to any of our priests and men we've put out here for the past 2,000 years or so, or so forth like that. This is one of the sly, tricky, lying, deceiving things that this church has done with this Greek word, so you'll never catch it, and you'll never know that it means untransferable. Therefore, they can continually put these priests out to you when there hasn't been any priest at all since Jesus Christ. So they did away with the word untransferable, which aparabatus means, and they just put a meaning of another Greek word, which is always translated everlasting, but that Greek word doesn't appear here. That is totally dishonest to deceive you. Well, I'm going to read you that next week. We're going to get on that a little bit because, if you're trusting this organization to take you to heaven, when we get on salvation, I'm going to tell you, they pervert the Word of God, and if you're trusting baptism to wash away your sins or anything else, you're going to spend eternity in hell. But I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39 says this, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." And believe it or not, that's what your Roman Catholic Bible says too. Isn't that amazing? But those verses, you don't hear anything about in your church, do you? No, because they don't want you to. We're just going to offer a mass and you're going to be all right. No, sir, you're deceived right into hell. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you can offer a million masses a day and it'll amount to one thing, sir. It doesn't pay for your sin. It doesn't make anything to Jesus Christ. He wants you to preach the truth. Tell people about Christ and what he did. But nobody's exalted but the Pope, the Cardinals, and the Bishops, and, of course, your God, the priest. Well, I hope you have a Bible. I'm just showing you that it's in your own Bible so that if you reject it, you have absolutely no excuses. Paul said, your blood's not on my shoulders anymore or upon my head because I've told you. And the Bible has told you. God's Word has told you. I hope that you'll accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and have the assurance and the peace that passes all understanding. You have a home in heaven. Well, as your time's going, we hope that you'll come and visit this Sunday morning. We hope that you're getting a good Bible-teaching church. We believe we have one. So our church service Sunday morning is from 10 o'clock to 11. Our Sunday evening service is from 6 o'clock to 7. And our youth group, wonderful youth group we have, is from 7 o'clock to 8:30 or 9. And we would love to have you come. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, keep looking up and ever praying, even so come, Lord Jesus.